W22 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. warns attacks against Israel could come at any moment from Iran and Hezbollah. CBS's Jared Hill has the latest.
The U.S. and its allies are also continuing to push for a ceasefire and hostage release deal between Israel and Hamas as Israeli forces continue operations in southern Gaza.
Meantime, the U.S. is investing in Israel's defense. It approved $20 billion in future arms sales today, including fighter jets. In New Orleans, President Biden announced a big investment to cancer research as part of his Moonshot initiative.
Folks, it's fair to say one of the most devastating words anyone can hear, and it's not hyperbole, is cancer.
Tropical storm Ernesto getting stronger and could hit hurricane status soon. CBS Miami meteorologist Casey Sherman.
It is expected to bring tropical storm force conditions to Puerto Rico, the British and U.S. Virgin Islands, along with the surrounding islands as we head into later today, tonight, and tomorrow.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Today is partisan primary election day, the first election day since new boundaries for Wisconsin's Senate and Assembly districts went into effect. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf.
Who's on their ballot, what districts they're qualified to vote in, depends on their address. And so when the redistricting happened, voters who are now in a new district, their registration was moved by their clerk into that appropriate district.
Polls are open till 8 tonight. That's when election night coverage begins on many Civic Media radio stations and online. The last of four hotel security guards linked to the death of Devante Mitchell in Milwaukee has made his initial court appearance. Herbert Williamson and three others restrained Mitchell on June 30th. Mitchell died of asphyxiation. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A Rice Lake wood manufacturing plant closed earlier this month, apparently providing only one day of notice for employees before they were let go. According to a WEAU report, Bessie Forest Products filed the notice that they were planning to close on August 1st and terminated all 46 of their employees on August 2nd. In a statement, company officials said they were sorry they couldn't provide more notice to their employees, citing failed restructuring alternatives as the reason that they were closing with such short notice. Preparations are underway for Chippewa County to host Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. According to a WQOW report, there are over 500 volunteers helping to set up the Chippewa Valley Music Festival grounds near Cadott ahead of the massive farming event. Wisconsin Farm Technology Days will be held from Tuesday to Thursday this week. It offers farmers from across the region the chance to show off the latest farming equipment and make connections with other farmers. There will also be a massive trade show. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Crew lose to L.A. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost Game 1 of their four-game series to the Dodgers last night, the final 5-2, Game 2 tonight. Manager Pat Murphy said he thought his young Brewers team was a little intimidated facing the Dodgers, and future Hall of Famer now in his 17th season, Clayton Kershaw, on the mound.
If you want to be, you want to swim with the Sharks, you got to be willing to step up in these situations and put together, forget about who's on the mound, I mean, and forget about, you know, it's baseball. I just felt like we didn't have the right approach there mentally for a situation, but it is their young guys in front of their hometown crowd, and it's Kershaw.
NFL, one of the players who stood out in the Packers' win over the Browns was wide receiver Grant DuBose, who had 5 catches for 66 yards, leading the team in receptions.
Grant had a really good game the other day. Obviously, he made some pretty clutch catches, but his effort blocking was excellent as well.
That's Packers offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 60. And increasing clouds for tomorrow, chance of showers and storms in the late afternoon and evening. High near 80. More rain around Wednesday night and Thursday. A high in the mid-70s. Drying out for later Friday into the weekend. Right now it's 80.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll be live on location at Volk Field with the Wisconsin Air National Guard's Northern Lightning. A great training exercise. Learn all about aircraft, pilots, and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Tuesday night, Tim and Jess, Johnny, we're giving him a little time off. You know, his daughter has a dance recital. We thought, Jess, we should let him attend that, you know?
Absolutely. It's important.
It's important. And, you know, I think, you know, if we have the ability to, you know, maybe Johnny can send us some pictures of him being. No, we don't need proof. It's Busted Pencils. The number is 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Yeah. Civic Media. Jess, I was thinking about this. So I was out, you know, as Johnny put out there, out doing some, I guess you'd say, some research, some connections with some people.
Castle visiting.
You know, I was out there and I was in the Midwest area of Michigan and spending some time in Michigan going forth and meeting lots of cool people, people involved with artificial intelligence and how they might use artificial intelligence in the school. And it's been, you know, it's been great to go out and do some, call it research or glad handing, just really talking to potential guests for the show because there's so much going on. And right now, Michigan has really stepped up as a key state to watch because of the amount of support they keep putting forward for their public schools, not just K-12, but higher education included. Yeah. You know, and so we are just over there saying, like, hey, what's it like to be in a state where values public education? It's like, you know, it's like a foreign country. It's like, what in the world? And so I've got to meet a lot of great people over there in Michigan. And so, you know, we'll be highlighting them in the coming weeks and months.
Ooh, because, goody.
Yeah, we love to hear, you know, happy stories about people doing great work. Jess, though, too, while I was there, I had the Civic Media app.
Very,
you know,
good.
Because the Civic Media app allows me to listen to Busted Pencils anywhere, anytime on my smartphone. And not just Busted Pencils, all of the Civic Media shows. Download that app. Jess, Wisconsin's fall primary election, though, it's today, Tuesday.
I voted. I got my sticker right here.
Oh, nice. You got to vote. The polls close at 8 p.m. If you have not voted yet, please do so now to find your polling location. Go to myvotewi.gov. If you are in line by 8 p.m., you will be allowed to cast your ballot. At 8 p.m., tune in to your favorite Civic Media station for results coverage anchored by news director Terry Bell. Man, and the other part, though, too, Jess, you know what's really special? Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its really crappy voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. I am excited to be here tonight. We announced, was it 3 weeks, two months ago, the partnership, or a month ago, just like, man, things go by so fast.
It's been almost 3 months, Tim.
It's been 3 months. Our Rethinking Schools relaunch of a partnership that had begun when Busted Pencils was a standalone podcast and then went to a radio show. We re-engaged with Rethinking Schools to have that partnership. We've had their Sierra Keller Jones on to talk about the partnership and how we're going to be featuring authors, editions to really highlight that work that they continue to do. Rethinking Schools, we said, if you remember anybody's acquaintance for Times, man, they have brought up every topic that you could say, wait a minute, you come after this yet? Rethinking Columbus. I say that's always my landmark of going, when did Rethinking Schools emerge into my kind of visual field? It's when they put out that 500th year anniversary. What does it mean to rethink teaching Columbus? Now, think about all of those topics. Our guest tonight, though, editor from the summer issue of Rethinking Schools, the Transgender Justice in Schools, It's a Life or Death Thing. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Ty Marshall. Ty, thank you so much for coming to Busted Pencils tonight.
Absolutely.
So we got the summer edition and a book we're going to talk about. But, you know, getting ready for the show, I'm reading, I'm doing my research. And I go back, 2020, I think it was, and there's a post, Instructional Time, and I went through that and read that post and was like, okay, so this is the introduction to Ty Marshall, and the reality of what it meant at that moment when the transition, because we're going to be talking about that, the transition was complete. And the implications of what that meant for you as a classroom teacher who then was told, and you had to sign your name to this, that the transition, you're going to teach social studies, damn it, Ty.
Right, right.
Talk about it.
I mean, it's easy to laugh about now with some room, but I think... the way that the union rep with all his best intentions and the district sort of responded to my transition was a little bit of like, if we can control the conversation around this, we're going to come out looking okay. And I think that element of like trying to delete sort of the existence of transness or like kind of let's take the uncomfortable stuff and put it over here, far, far away, is like when people are not yet comfortable and ready to talk about challenging topics. And, at the time I was told like, this is to protect you. But ultimately I feel like what got demonstrated to my students and the whole community was like, we are very uncomfortable with trans people. We are not willing to have this be a part of our curriculum. And it's that kind of sense of what we allow to be conversation and just sort of like a part of our humanity in the classroom, like controlling that piece. It was really hard.
Yeah. I mean, the whole sense of it was truly, at an erasure moment of saying, okay, this year, fine. You're Ty Marshall, the male social studies teacher. And as a social studies teacher, Ty, that's what you will teach. That's what you will talk about, regardless of the potential students and how they may approach and even ask questions, the way some parents, the way some of your colleagues. No, 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 no. And that's 2020. This is before all of the quote horrendous don't say gay type of bills, anti-LGBTQ type of craziness that we're dealing with then. And that simple act of what you said, was there was a union rep and again, intentions wherever they were, But the policy was to say, Ty, you're a social studies teacher. That's what you talk about. And that's all you're going to talk about. To think about that now going to 2024, and we've got the, you know, the new edition, Transgender Justice in School, coming out of Rethinking Schools, and then the whole book dedicated to this. Tell me about either where we're at since 2020 when you wrote that, really, you know, very personal, very painful account of what happened at that time when you had the transition moment. And now here we are, 2024, where we're writing Transgender Justice, and we're saying coming out of, you know, some of the most horrendous. I'm in Ohio, and people, I said, Ohio has somehow escaped the scrutiny of the horrendousness of the attack on LGBTQ students. Like, you know, it's always focused on Florida or this, but it's as bad, if not worse, here in Ohio. To a teacher right now in Southeast Ohio, maybe, you know, this is heart of Appalachian Ohio, saying, man, I really want to, I'm listening to Busted Pencils tonight. I'm listening to Tim. I'm listening to Ty. I want to get that Rethinking Schools edition. Man, I'm not going to put that on my desk, though, as coming back to school. How do you talk to people about, you know, this idea that you have a whole edition of both the magazine and a book that's going to be talking about transgender justice? What does that mean to you?
I mean, that's such a great question. I think, you know, we've come, like, when you're talking about 2020 to 2024, right? Like, I feel like we have come from the visibility of trans people. I mean, even, you know, back to like 2014, you know, there was like that famous interview with Laverne Cox, where, you know, she's, you know, putting herself forward as this beautiful, powerful actress, and then being asked, like, these really invasive questions about her body and her surgery and her hormones. It was like the Katie Couric show. So just to say, like, you know, with visibility comes backlash. And I think that's, you know, what we're seeing. And it's really important to remember that all these bills that are being pushed, like you mentioned, like Don't Say Gay, and, you know, the bathroom bills, the bills targeting trans youth who just want to participate in sports, like all of that, like both schools are the epicenter of so many of those bills. So we have this power to, like, change the conversation to be focused on people's humanity rather than, like, you know, again, yeah, what medical treatment is the student undergoing, right? Like, we protect that stuff with students in every other aspect. Why are we not protecting it in terms of, you know, trans students? And then I think the other piece is just, you know, because the audience of the show is, like, from all over, like, these bills are being introduced by organizations that are not necessarily even based in the places where they're pushing this legislation, right? Like, it's a real project. And so as much as we can feel that sense of, like, power and connection with other people who are fighting for justice, that's the purpose of the book and the magazine, to really be a place, like, you know, we want folks to do study groups with the book, with their union or their church or whatever they can, to really start building that sense of, like, what we're seeing in the legislature is not us. So
It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Our guest, Ty Marshall. He's the editor of the new edition, summer edition of Rethinking Schools, Transgender Justice in the School, and also the new book coming out. We're going to talk more about that. You can give us a call, 855-752-4842. Hey, talk to us about what's happening where you are in this issue. Trans justice. Busted Pencils.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Warm weather, humidity, and thunderstorms in Wisconsin bring mosquitoes that bite and annoy us throughout the spring and summer months.
they're there. They're always there. And then when we have high rainfall years, they're going to be more prevalent.
In fact, the first confirmed case of the West Nile virus has bitten Wisconsin. It was found in a blood donor from Washington County and also in a dead bird in Chippewa County. The West Nile virus is spread to humans, birds, and other animals through the bite of these infected mosquitoes.
Eliminate any water sources. Dump those flower pots out. Don't let dog or kitty pools sit. Fill them when you're going to use them and then dump them out. Clean the gutters. Reduce those sources is definitely going to help. You want to still be able to enjoy your yard.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number is 855-752-4842. Sherry and Horicon, thank you. Good evening to you. And guess what, Jess? Sherry voted wearing her sticker too. Just putting it out there.
Very good. It's one of my favorite fashion statements to make.
I voted. You put that, and then you know what? If you're really doing it, you go out and you donate blood on the same day you voted, and you get to wear both of those little stickers and really show off.
When I try to do that, they have to put the blood back, so it's
sorry, we're not taking any. Our guest is Ty Marshall, and he is the editor of the new book Transgender Justice in School, and also the new edition of The Summer of Rethinking Schools, it's a life or death thing. The title of the anchor article in the summer edition doesn't mince words, Ty. Transgender education and support in the school is life or death. What challenges currently face transgender students and educators?
I mean, we touched a little bit on the number of laws that are...
Thanks, Jen.
Sorry, that's just our soundboard throwing, I don't know, a little party for itself. I'm so sorry, Ty. Please continue.
It really wants to have that party.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a little journey. Okay, Ty. So back, to the question.
So you know, we've talked a little bit about like these a huge number of bans on gender affirming care for kids and adults, and then how that's trickling into schools as far as like requiring some schools to, you know, deliberately misgender kids, that even if the teachers are affirming of that kid's identity, the school policy is that you have to use their birth name. And some of that is, you know, also impacting trans teachers, whether they're targeted for their identity or their curriculum, and not just trans teachers who are willing to teach anything about queer and trans issues. The challenges are a lot. And I think our hope with the book is really to present, you know, what's at stake, right? The first chapter is really kind of hitting on that, life or death with real personal experiences from trans authors who are teachers. And then trying to give folks some examples of like, where could you be bringing in more trans joy, trans visibility in your curriculum, really centering student voices, of course, in the third chapter. And then, the fourth chapter, how do we organize in this current climate, right? Where, even a teacher who, reads a book about rainbows gets fired, right?
Right. Yeah. And, in fact, where Jess is in Waukesha, that's where the teacher was from Rainbowland, as you point that out. Ty, though, too, life or death, it is. When you talk about that, I know there is this kind of part where what you even talk about, the bullying that occurs to, and in your experience as a teacher, and then seeing that as that, I mean, how does somebody, and I'm thinking about you back in 2020 when you, quote, had to sign off on instructional time, that the reality even then was, okay, whatever happens to me personally and the attacks I get, I have to kind of hold those in tight and not talk about them. But then has students who might even approach you from that standpoint of saying, you know, Mr. Marshall, can we talk?
Right.
You know, because at that moment, that child, that student, that may be a life or death moment when they say, Mr. Marshall, can we talk?
Right. Right. Yes. I mean, and I think what's so interesting about, like, you know, whatever then to now for me personally, but I think also for a lot of educators, whether it's teachers of color trying to teach, you know, about their history, anybody, like, this, the stakes with students coming out of COVID, I feel like there's a very much like, a higher emphasis on like what is felt in the classroom and like how do people feel connected and where we're still struggling with that as a whole society, right? But we're just the we're the petri dish that gets to figure that out. But you know, like I was teaching criminal justice last year and I had students get to hear all these amazing speakers and it could be the most well-spoken great leftist and the students are like, ah, not sure about that vibe, you know, like that sense of connection is so critical right now. And I think the impact on trans youth, if their trans teachers are silenced, is just like a double message, right? Of like, you know, they only see represented trans people who are like fearful. And that's why, you know, in writing that and in the sort of edited version of that article, which is in the book, I really did want to emphasize that sense of like humanity and joy. That's like what we have control over as educators in our rooms. So,
well, and the joy, we love that word, Jess and I and Johnny, because we have just been riding the joy train, you know, coming out of the Waltz announcement with the vice president and Kamala Harris. You know, there's been this sense of joy, and you talk about that word, because instead of despair, but to experience joy. What about a teacher right now who's out there and they want to push back and they want to bring this issue of Rethinking Schools, the magazine or the book, and put it on their bookshelf? How do they resist the oppressive anti-LGBTQ realities that are out there today?
Yes. I mean, I think first and foremost, like, don't be a loner, right? Like, a lone wolf teacher always sinks. So I think, you know, when you're bringing something out, talk to your, find your allies in your building. You know, unions are doing some cool advocacy for trans teachers and making sure the medical care and the contracts they fight for are trans inclusive. People are doing amazing work around the school boards and sort of some of those organizing campaigns. So I think, you know, knowing who your allies are there parents that you can call on? There's some great examples of folks using parent allies to do good. So yeah, just I think not being alone. And I think, you know, highlighting those pieces of resistance, like as we were putting this book together, when I first thought about these laws, these trans healthcare bans, gosh, was this summer of 22? My students were like, and we're there's no hope, you know? And so we really tried to put together some curriculum, and Linda has a great example of that in the book of how do we highlight what resistance is working, right? If we're not winning in the courts, where are we winning, you know? And there's wonderful examples of that, of, you know, people flying folks to different states to get healthcare or having drag shows on the Capitol steps to protest bans. So.
Man, where, well, I know where else too. Rethinking Schools. It's always there. Rethinking Schools, our partnership with is Busted Pencils, Rethinking Schools, and our author, Ty Marshall, editor also of the book Trans Gender Justice in School, both the edition that's out right now that you can go to Rethinking Schools and check that out. When we get back, more questions. Stay tuned.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More than 288,000 people have already voted in Wisconsin's primary election. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf says that's how many absentee ballots had come in as of early yesterday morning. It's the first election since 2022 that voters can use ballot drop boxes. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is paying more than $2 billion to minority farmers, ranchers, and foresters. It's to make up for discriminatory practices of the past, like denying government loans. But some advocates say they want more transparency.
I'm not personally dazzled about numbers or dollar amounts unless I can connect that to the people that are being most impacted.
Sharon Mallory is with the 2020 Farmers Co-op. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Dunn County Health Department has a new vending machine to distribute harm reduction materials to community members for free. The kiosk features items like Narcan, gun locks, and hygiene kits wrapped in gray bags with color-coded stickers on them to identify what each item is, allowing people to use the vending machine to get what they need without the fear of judgment from people passing by. The harm reduction vending machine can be found near the entrance in the basement of the government building. The Eau Claire City County Health Department has received funding to help rural residents get better access to proper nutrition. According to a WQOW report, the health department received a nearly $50,000 grant from the Medical College of Wisconsin's Advancing a Healthier Wisconsin Endowment for the study. The focus of the department's efforts will be on the Augusta, Fall Creek, and Fairchild areas. The first step of the study will be a survey for rural residents, followed by feedback sessions with community members. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Nick Cannon says he would love to get back together with his first and only wife, Mariah Carey. And he told E! News they belong together. The problem? He says she doesn't want him. The couple divorced in 2016 after 8 years of marriage. Cannon is the host of several shows, including The Masked Singer. But despite a crazy busy schedule, he still found time to sire most of the children born in America over the last two decades, including two with Carey. Fans of Colin Jost's Wiki Feet page will have to wait for some new material. The SNL cast member was covering the Olympic surfing competition when he cut his foot on a coral reef and developed a staph infection, which then became an ear infection. Injury aside, the news from Tahiti wasn't all bad for Jost. While recuperating, it was announced he will host the new Jeopardy spinoff, where foot injuries are few and far between. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 60. And increasing clouds for tomorrow, chance of showers and storms in the late afternoon and evening. High near 80. More rain around Wednesday night and Thursday. A high in the mid-70s. Drying out for later Friday into the weekend. Right now it's 78 degrees.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I was in a drive-thru line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, how to organize at the local level to ensure our schools are supported instead of being undermined by our local elected officials.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
there it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. 855-752-4842. If you want to be an educated educator talking education, you can give us a call. Our guest, Ty Marshall, he is one of the editors of the new book coming out from Rethinking Schools, Transgender Justice in the School. We're talking about also right now the preview, which really is in the Rethinking Schools magazine. So if you go to rethinkingschools.org to check out the website, you can pull up the current issue. And there are some pieces in there that are, as you were saying, Ty, are pulled from the book to kind of get people ready so that they can start to get ready to order the book. And when it's going, Ty, I want to read though from this, And then I want to get your reaction to this. I want to show students what steady self-love in the face of fear looks like, because we all face it. I want to teach my students that being trans means continuing to live into our joy and express our full selves despite backlash. A teacher in their full humanity and power can recognize the same in their students and demand better from their education system that dehumanizes all of us. That's Ty Marshall right there. Man, what comes, you know, powerful stuff, but joy, the word joy. Talk more about that whole idea of claiming that joy, because I think so often, because it's a serious issue, because it does happen, but the physical abuse, the bullying abuse, even to the point of the mental health toll of, you know, being trans in this part, you know, so much of the exposure when we, quote, want to delve into these issues, sadly, we talk about suicide and not joy. So how do you get people to move into that joy?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And one of the students, you know, in one of the classrooms as we were writing this book, was like, the only time I've ever gotten to study trans people in school has been to look at suicide statistics. And that is often where that introduction happens. Like, as, you know, in health class, it's like this difficult, hard thing, right? And I feel like, you know, there's a movement that I think, you know, we've learned from authors of color, teachers of color, about like, how do you pivot from like, the character in the book is struggling, right? The, you know, the Black, the Latino, whatever character is their whole identity is struggle, versus like, they also are really good at soccer, or they are surrounded by love, right? Like, so that like casual diversity sort of shift, I think is a huge part of that. And I think, like, you know, the humanity piece in that quote you read, like, that's, I think, for me, at least as a teacher committed to justice, despite all that we've been through. I mean, I'm only in my eighth year, so I'm a baby as far as like the fights in education. But, you know, we see a lot of rollbacks of, you know, what we're allowed to teach about and what are the constraints on our time. And so ultimately, right, what we can do that is really powerful is be in a room with young people who are studying the world and want to change it, and like feel like they are valued and they belong there. There aren't many places like that anymore. So
So schools and communities that are interested in creating these environments that, you know, promote steady self-love and queer joy. What are your recommendations to somebody who's listening to the show right now and saying, yeah, I don't want to talk about the horrible statistics as my introduction into this topic. I want to talk about the joy and the humanity. Yeah. I would say the first thing is what you're going to say, they should order the book.
Yes, please order the book. I mean, I do want to, I think there's a couple of really, yeah, joyful and expansive like curriculum options. The science teacher who writes a couple of the articles, Sam Long, is brilliant. And just, you know, talks a lot about how like gender expansiveness in the way you teach science, you know, touches on like the way that gender stereotypes or policing gender limits all of us, right? Like, even as a cisgender person, if you are constantly being critiqued about your gender expression, that's going to limit how you move through the world, right? Really famous with, you know, recently in the Olympics, the gold medalist boxer, the Algerian boxer in Maine, just, right, that restriction is going to hurt everyone. So yeah, there's some wonderful science examples of like expansion and how we talk about gender, and the other piece, like the resistance, the way we fight back against these laws, I think is another one that can give people a lot of a sense of hope, right? Like, we study resistance, so we know how to do it. So
there, what in the world? There it was. There's that bell.
Your reaction to the bell, Tim.
Jess, you know what that bell is. Democracy in action. Jess, what do you got?
Every day here on Busted Pencils, we take a minute to educate ourselves and remind ourselves of core democratic values. Today, we're highlighting two democratic values: life and the pursuit of happiness. And these are directly connected to Ty's work as an educator and with his work with Rethinking Schools and this edition of Transgender Justice in Classrooms. It is absolutely essential for the life of LGBTQ plus students that they are in welcoming environments, that they find places where they belong, people who accept them and love them and support them as they are. And that goes beyond the bare subsistence of making sure that their bodies are safe, into places where their minds and their spirits are safe and they can experience joy. So thank you so much, Ty, for being here. That's our democracy in action.
Jess, nice stuff there. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Our guest, editor of the new book, Transgender Justice in Schools, Rethinking Schools, 855-752-4842 is the number if you want to call and talk to us. Ty, you were talking, you know, the focus on one of the chapters in the book. Yeah, right now, tell a little bit more, too. Give me another highlight coming from the book. What can I hope for when this book arrives? What you know, and again, you're not going to be able to cover everybody, but let's talk a little bit about, okay, you know, so what else?
Yeah, I mean, I think other nuggets that are so wonderful, there's a couple of really great, really powerful personal stories in the first chapter about, you know, trans teachers, their experiences, and trans students kind of standing up and working to educate other teachers, particularly. Yeah, there's a great article from Mihail Deitch about how their GSA students ended up teaching the whole school about pronouns and how to kind of respect their safety. And I feel like that is a outline for student power and kind of shifting the culture of a school. So definitely check that one out.
That's okay. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. How long did it take you guys to put this together, Ty?
It took about a year. And, you know, what I love about Rethinking Schools is it feels like it always starts with like a sense of community. Like I know you were sharing about Rethinking Columbus being your introductory point. And I think of Rethinking Schools, perhaps because I'm based here in Portland, where a lot of that editing and stuff is sometimes happening. I think of it as like, you know, we're gathered around a table, we're talking about our curriculum. And, you know, I actually came to Linda with like, I'm struggling in my classroom. And she was like, you know what? I have a project for you. And I was like, all right. But it truly ended up being a real lifeline to other really visionary trans teachers and kind of that sense of connectedness that, yeah, I really needed.
Yeah. So and with that, and so we say Linda Christensen is the co-editor with you. And so just put that out there, co-editor of the book. When is the book? I think you said once, but you know, so right now I'm out there, I'm listening. What do I do? How do I get it? Where do I go? Tell me more about it, Ty.
Yes, yes, yeah. So go online to Rethinking Schools. You can order the book. We're also reaching out to unions to try to encourage like folks to make a big order and do some study groups. I'll be kicking one off here in Oregon with our local PAT to try to think about like, you know, we built all this incredible power over the strike and what now? What do we want to do around protecting trans teachers and students, even in a, you know, a district like ours where we do have a lot of protections. You know, we still have to educate each other on those protections, make sure students know about them and can keep each other safe. So.
Think about the issue here, Ty. Again, what the backdrop with the political movement that's happening, that again, all of the anti-gay, don't say gay, don't say bathrooms, all of this, is there something that potentially as we come up to this school year, you're releasing the book. This is also a national election that we're going to be facing, the reality here that could have an impact potentially. Is there an excitement or a potential to say this might be a moment to maybe peel back some of this oppression?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, it is a moment to be trying to engage people in a sense of hope, right? And we haven't had a lot of that for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that I really believe in the smaller local examples that students can see of that power is going to engage them in, for example, wanting to vote and things like that. So, if they are working on, challenging curriculum in their own school that they want to see changed, right? That's like a little mini lesson in, what it might look like to ask a politician to, consider legislation, right? So, I guess I think it's like a mirror of the bigger fights we need to have.
And that curriculum issue too, we bring that up too, because to start, kind of go to, because we're coming to a close, kind of ending where we started, this whole idea of instructional time that you introduced us to, Ty, in 2020, which was, look, Ty, transgender, sure, but you're a social studies teacher, and that's what you were hired to do, is teach social studies. And now, 2024, Transgender Justice, the book coming out, Rethinking Schools. I mean, now we're talking about instructional time in saying that issues of LGBTQ need to be put forward, not as an aside, but how do we make real instructional time for that? Maybe that's the last question for you. How do we make instructional time, Ty?
Oh, man. I mean, you're so right. It's a national version of the same conversation we were having in 2020 and has been happening before that, about what's allowed in schools and what are we allowed to talk about. And I guess I would always come back to, the more we can bring students' identities into the school and make space for them, the more powerful they're going to feel. And a lot of these issues, right, whether we're talking about race, whether we're talking about gender, if we as the adult in the building aren't willing to be vulnerable, be messy, and try and make mistakes, then the students aren't going to feel that same sense of safety. So whether it's your very first time, asking students on a little note card, what's your preferred pronoun, or it's your first time, acknowledging hey, I'm a white teacher and I'm going to mess this up, but let's try to talk about, whatever it is, those steps are incredibly important part of reshaping the instructional time of 2024.
Well, our guest tonight was Ty Marshall Jess, doing the snap, snap, snap on that partnership with Rethinking Schools and the new book coming out. We can order it by going to Rethinking Schools, the website, pre-order Transgender Justice in Schools. There's the link in the podcast that'll be there, and you can see it right now. If you're on the Twitter X, the Facebook, or the YouTube,
beautiful. You
can see the cover right now. Ty is holding up for all of us. Ty Marshall, thanks for busting pencils.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and there we go. You know what, Jess? I'm excited. We're going to chop it up. Hold on.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking. Education, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you want to call, great guests for the first three parts of the show, Ty Marshall, editor, Rethinking Schools, Transgender Justice in Schools. Go to Rethinking Schools, check out the website there, and then from there you can order the book and have it ready to go. Huh, L.A. Tom's on the phone, though. L.A. Tom, what's happening, my friend? What's going on?
Well, Tim, as you know, I mean, we don't always agree with things that we talk about, and that's how we educate ourselves and everything like that. I grew up in a very small town of 2000 in the state of Wisconsin, a gay kid that was in the closet until I was 21 years old. And had all the issues and everything else that goes along with it. I'll tell you what, if we can just say to students like Coach Waltz's wife did, Gwen, that my classroom is a safe space for all people, whether they're gay, straight, black, white, fat, thin, whatever it is, you kids are all in this together, and you need to respect each other. Instead of just picking out, as an example, transgender group, first off, 10% maybe of the population is trans. And if we start like talking about trans without bringing it to a school board or parents ahead of time, we are going to end up falling right into the right wing's trap. And we're going to end up honestly harming more children than we are helping them.
It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Yes, L.A. Tom there, he's got a point.
I hear L.A. Tom, and I hear the concerns, and I think if we say that this is a safe space for everyone, we can say who this is a safe space for. We can say that it is a safe space for people who are cisgender and people who are not cisgender. This is a safe place for people who are of any sexuality. This is a safe space for all people. Mm. And that doesn't diminish anything.
Right. Yeah, what did we get into this language talk about, you know, the diminishing and things like that. And man, I think just staying on, you know, with Ty and the going to go back to the simplicity, joy, you know, and when you talk about inclusive diversity of who's there, that should be a joyful space when you say, you know, what is a safe space? Who are we including? I'm, you know, falling into the right wing's trap. I don't know, Jess, right?
That doesn't speak to me. I think the statistic that, you know, Tom has brought up that, you know, approximately 10% of the population is trans. That's a huge percentage of the population.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge percentage of the population who deserves to feel safe and seen and welcomed and joyful. Mm-mm. And I don't think that there is a right-wing trap here. I think that people who do not want equality for all people are going to say that regardless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and as we're going through and talking, you know, more about just, again, the inclusiveness, the right-wing trap, I don't think their trap's working. I think right now, every time that they point out their attack on diversity, their attack on equity, their attack on inclusion, their attack on safe spaces, it's like that is gone right now. And people were saying, like, that pain, that hatred, that anger, that dismissal of human beings that you guys are advocating, you are advocating the exclusion of brothers, sisters, friends, neighbors, doctors, lawyers. We don't do that type of work. This moment of hatred-filled rhetoric and policies that we have now witnessed over the last few years, maybe it's finally time that when people come out in this kind of speaking where they're going to push against a guest like we just had, Ty Marshall, talking about transgender justice, you know, it's time. Keith from Middleton on the phone. What's happening, Keith?
How you doing, guys? It's my first time calling to talk to you guys. I've been talking to other shows and so forth. I'm right on the border of a boomer. People call me a boomer. I'm born in 65, so technically I'm the last year of the boomers. And like I was telling the young lady who answered the phone, I don't understand a lot of, you know, non-binary, or I understand trans. I understand what people are born and their bodies don't match their chromosomes, or sometimes they may have multiple sex organs. I mean, there are people, unfortunate children, who are born with multiple sex organs, and who decides which they are assigned, so to speak, at that point. So whether I understand it or not doesn't matter, and it shouldn't matter to anybody. We're talking about children. I don't care if that kid has stutter. I don't care if he's wearing braces on his legs because he can't walk without that, or she. I don't care if that kid has alopecia and doesn't have a hair on their head. I don't care if that kid decides and some, you know, if that they want to be gay.
It's all about accepting people as they are, right, Keith?
Thank you. And that's all that matters. We're talking about kids, and by not doing these things,
so sorry, we're running out of time.
I know, we're coming down on the time. You know, and Keith, thanks for the call, though. And yeah, inclusion that way. Hey, just a reminder, too, Busted Pencils, we love this. Sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company. Go and check out the tap room in Madison right out there by East High School. Grab a beer. Minocqua Brewing Company, making Wisconsin great again. Drinking one beer, making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out Minocqua Brewing Company.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Jess, Busted Pencils, man, great show. Ty, Rethinking Schools, thank you for coming. Callers, Keith, L.A. Tom. Man, loving it. Tomorrow night, Educators Amplified, teacher Joanna in the house. Busted Pencils. See y'all tomorrow.
The Tap. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates for a whopper of a Wednesday edition. We'll have all the electoral results in the great state of Wisconsin and our friend Bill Press in the happier happy hour. Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter? Then tune to your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local civic media radio station and streaming on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local civic media radio station or the civic media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the civic media app.